You're listening to SBS News.
Across the country on Australia Day, more than 16,000 people from over 150 nations attended ceremonies around the country to become Australian citizens. In Canberra, on the shores of Lake Burley Griffin, 29 of Australia's newest citizens were welcomed in one of 400 ceremonies held across the nation. Prime Minister Scott Morrison welcomed them with this message.
Like so many before you, you add your threads to Australia's rich tapestry. You now write your own chapters in Australia's story. In recent times, our national story has once again been one of terrible and great hardship. Times of loss, drought, floods, fires, the global pandemic, and the recession and hardship it has caused. And at such times, we are sustained by many things: our family, our friends, our community, our faith, and we are thankful. I'm just thankful to be an Australian and to live in Australia with my family, this land we call home.
Among the new citizens are an Armenian family that fled Syria during the civil war. At a citizenship ceremony organised by the City of Parramatta Council in Sydney, Nayirian Jejikan says the moment has been a dream come true for her, her husband and her two young children.
I would like to express my appreciation to Australia, who welcomed us and make us feel that we belong to this beautiful country. We have great opportunities to live safely, to study, to work. Even we had the chance to buy our first home in the city of Parramatta. And I'm sure we will have more opportunities to give back to this wonderful country.
Scott Morrison also used his speech to pay tribute to Indigenous Australians.
We recognise Indigenous peoples right across our land, from the Torres Strait Islander people in the north to the Palawa in Tasmania, to the Whadjuk Noongar people across the Nullarbor in Perth, and the Larrakia people in the Top End. Like the country itself, Australia's Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples are diverse, they're unique, and they connect us through time. And here in our capital, the home of the Ngunnawal people, the home of a free, democratic people, the most successful multicultural and multi-faith nation on earth.
Not far from the official ceremony in Canberra, another milestone was marked on the lawn of Parliament House.
Always was, always will be!
Aboriginal land!
Always was, always will be!
Aboriginal land!
It's 50 years since the Aboriginal Tent Embassy was set up to urge politicians to heed the call from Indigenous Australians for self-determination. Armed with placards, plastic sheets and a beach umbrella, four young Aboriginal men set up the first Aboriginal Tent Embassy. Michael Anderson was one of those men. Speaking to NITV News, he says it was a powerful moment.
Well, first of all, I just know we were bloody cold. We're all sitting there in the dark saying, OK, Canberra's waking up to a different Australia.
He says he was inspired by the Gurindji walk-off, also known as the Wave Hill Walk-Off, a 9-year labour strike from 1966 in the Northern Territory that resulted in a win for Indigenous land rights.
And so I say to people that the embassy is deafening in its silence, yeah? But it's an eyesore for the oppressor. They don't like it, yeah? Because everybody's saying, why is it still there? And that's a question the Australian public needs to ask the Parliament. Ask the politicians, why is there a need for that embassy? And that's what I'm looking back at now and saying, well, we did it. You know, we did it. We achieved something silently. Yeah? Just our sheer presence was loud enough. We didn't have to do anything else.
He says the gains in Aboriginal activism have been whittled away over the years, with less resourcing for Indigenous legal services and housing companies. And he says there's a greater need than ever for governments around Australia to listen to the aspirations of Aboriginal people.
I'm hoping that there shouldn't be any need for the embassy anymore. And I think the greatest challenge now is to have government realise that we are many nations, different language, right? We all have different priorities. We all have different understandings of our own set of aspirations and hopes. So let's start dealing with that reality now if we're going to do a political change here and a shift in terms of where we're going.
In Sydney, on the Sydney Harbour foreshore, the national anthem is sung in both English and in the Aboriginal language of the Eora Nation. New South Wales Premier Dominic Perrottet says he wants to see acknowledgement of Indigenous history and improvement in the Close the Gap outcomes on Indigenous health, education and well-being.
In a nation that has become home to people from every corner of the globe and all walks of life, our strength is in our unity. And I do believe that the tide is turning. And for a new generation, unity is within reach. But that begins by acknowledging the truth of our past. Acknowledging that this day represents immense loss and hurt for many First Nations people. And honouring a culture which continues unbroken today, we need to be more determined than ever to create change that makes a real difference, that closes the gap and honours the dignity of every Indigenous Australian, past, present and future.
Indigenous Australians held what they called Survival Day and Invasion Day marches around the country. Those attending the marches say they cannot celebrate the 26th of January, a day marking the 1788 arrival of British explorers at Sydney Cove, when they declared the land a British colony. During that period, large numbers of Aboriginal people were killed in the so-called frontier conflicts and massacres. Researchers at the University of Newcastle have documented between 350 and 400 sites of mass killings. At the march in Sydney, Paul Francis Silver says it's been 6 years since the death in custody of his uncle David Dungay Jr. The 26-year-old died after five police officers entered his cell after he refused to stop eating a packet of biscuits. At the inquest into his death, CCTV footage was played showing the officers using handcuffs before they pushed him face down on his bed and on the floor, even as he said 12 times that he could not breathe before dying. Paul Francis Silver says for him, the 26th of January will always be a day of sadness.
This morning, most Australians would have woke up, planning their barbecue with their families. Well, this morning I woke up with tears rolling down my face. You know, people would say that it happened years ago, and it had nothing to do with us. It's all in regards to our ancestors. But, that shows the, generational trauma that it has on the young Indigenous people here in Australia. It means nothing to me and it never will. It's a date that needs to be abolished, not changed.
There have been 489 Indigenous deaths in custody since the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody in 1991. Indigenous Australians also continue to be overrepresented in the prison system, including among children as young as 10. In 2020, at least 65% of children aged between 10 and 13 who were imprisoned were Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islanders. That's 324 out of a total 499. In the Northern Territory, Josie Crawshaw used Australia Day to continue the weekly protests of Indigenous children in the Dondale Youth Detention Centre. The former CEO of Aboriginal Child Protection Group Strong Aboriginal Families Together told NITV News the centre must be closed immediately.
Well, what we do know about being imprisoned and having the shackles around your neck from the age of 10, it will put our children in this justice system of detention for possibly the next four decades. This is unacceptable. We know that they will never heal from this. And when you are being locked down for 21 to 24 hours a day because of shortage of staff, and they have ignored those recommendations of the Royal Commission, time and time again. We fight, we win a little battle, we get a royal commission, and then it gets shelved again.
In 2017, a royal commission into the protection and detention of children in the territory recommended the immediate closure of the facility after investigating what they described as systemic and shocking failures, including children being shackled to chairs and tear gassed. In South Australia, Aboriginal Australian Marsha Carter says she's pleased to see more non-Indigenous people joining the Survival Day marches.
We've had enough of the rape and the theft and the murder and the traumatisation of our people. We want healing, we want unity between, you know, white and black. We don't discriminate. We love everybody. We just want peace for our children and for our elders and our future generations. It's different this year. A lot's come to light within the government, and I think that there's a lot more understanding as to what our people have been put through. And so, yeah, I'm thankful for all non-Indigenous Australians that are here today. And I just want to say peace.
Federal Opposition Leader Anthony Albanese says Indigenous constitutional recognition is Labor's policy platform. And that means enshrining an Indigenous voice to Parliament advisory body in the Constitution.
We've continued to develop as a multicultural nation and evolve, and we need to continue to do that into the future. And in order to do that, we need to recognise that our history goes back at least 60,000 years, which is why one of my priorities will be to recognise First Nations people in Australia's constitution with a constitutionally recognised voice to Parliament is a very important reform to reconcile Australia. For all of our history, we need to consider the good and the bad. We are a great nation. I look forward to us being even greater in the future.
When Australia's constitution was drafted in the 1890s, Aboriginal Australians were expressly excluded from the document. Australia's most successful referendum in 1967, with a 90.77% yes vote, resulted in changing that. The outcome allowed Indigenous Australians to be counted in the census and for federal government policy and funding in Indigenous affairs. However, there remains unresolved the issues of any constitutional guarantee of fair treatment or any specific recognition for Indigenous Australians and their rights. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.